For those of you who may not know, my name is David Blackburn. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Thank you for being here today. No. I didn't say that for that reason. I know this isn't a news flash, but we live in an angry world. Doesn't take the IQ of a brain surgeon to know that the world is filled with angry people. Do you know that people who attend church are among the angry? Yeah. Today in churches all across America, angry people have gathered. And this church is no exception. There are angry people in here right now. Some may be angry because I'm preaching. I don't know. Get over it. But you know, maybe you're one of the angry people. Most people don't want to admit this monster has a hold on them. You see, sadly, the anger in our world plays out every day in violence, terrorism, wars, hatred, murder, divorce, severed friendships, and more. It happened about 6 months ago. I was trying to unload some groceries from one of our cars on a cold and dark evening. I was having problems because those little shock absorbers that keep the rear hatch open weren't working. They were old, like the car, and they needed replacing, and it was cold too. And I was getting frustrated. And in a moment of anger, I pushed hard on the hatch, thinking that might help. It didn't. The glass shattered into hundreds of pieces all over the driveway. And it wasn't a very pretty picture. I spent over an hour cleaning up the glass inside the car and on the ground. I was upset that I got angry and did such a stupid stunt. I was sorry that my wife had to witness my anger in action. I apologized to her, and later that night I asked God for forgiveness. The hatch got repaired. I like State Farm insurance, by the way. So end of story, but not the end of the monster of anger and its desire to get me. That night, I needed to be reminded of this verse right here. And I want you to read it along with me if you don't mind. We need Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. I think those were verses. Were those verses from last week that you got up here? I'm getting angry. Should I just read it, guys, or what? Okay. It's from Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Paul says this, "And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun," here it is, help me out. "Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil." Thank you, gentlemen. Anger is a monster that keeps you and me from experiencing the life that God wants for us. When we talk about anger, there is a law of denial at work. People don't want to admit they have anger issues. And again, you may be one of those people and think this class at Monster University isn't for you. And right now, your mind is flashing the faces of people you think need to hear this message on anger. You know, it's a friend, it's a coworker, it's a family member, And granted, they may need to hear it. But guess what? God brought you to Faith Fellowship this morning so you could hear it. And if necessary, you could use it. Of all the human emotions, anger is one of the most complex and challenging to deal with. It's complex because anger will surface at the strangest times, for the strangest reasons, and show itself in the strangest ways. It's challenging because if not handled properly, anger can be a very dangerous and destructive emotion. Anger can hurt us physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. We should never, ever forget that there's always a high price tag for handling anger the wrong way. Most people who've experienced an incident where they let anger get the best of them will confirm that they later regretted it. I confess it to all of you. Proverbs 25:28 says this: if you cannot control your anger, you are as what? Helpless as a city without walls, open to attack. The Bible tells us, and we know by experience, that people who can't control their anger have a real problem. So what's your routine for handling the emotion of anger? Do you scream? Are you a screamer? Do you punch the pillow? Do you kick the dog? You drive too fast? Drink too much? We all do something, whether it's right or wrong. Fortunately, God has a plan for taming the monster of anger. Not for getting rid of anger, but for taming it. It isn't God's plan to eliminate our ability to get angry because, catch this, anger isn't wrong. It all depends on what makes us angry and what we do with our anger. You see, anger in and of itself is neither good or bad. It's why we get angry and how we express it that determines if it's good or bad, healthy or unhealthy anger. Anger that is managed correctly can be an asset to us and not a liability. Anger isn't something we can avoid, but it's something we can learn to control. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. I want us to consider this morning four different types of anger. The first is rage. Rage. Now, rage is that short-fused, explosive type of anger. It's the fly-off-the-handle anger that leaves everybody around you shred to pieces. Some try to excuse rage by saying, you know, I know I get angry and might lose my temper quickly, but, you know, it's all over in just a few moments. As if that justifies it. Well, you know something? A bomb explosion is also over in a few moments, but a tremendous amount of damage can take place in those few moments of time. We've all seen pictures of the Boston Marathon bombings and that devastation from those bombs that just took a few moments. Those who express this type of anger are literally walking time bombs with hair trigger tempers ready to explode. James has some real good advice for the ragers in our midst. I'd like you to read this one with me too. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Another type of anger is wrath. Wrath describes an anger that wants revenge and retaliation. This anger wants to get even. It's the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth kind of anger. Wrathful anger always seems to be accompanied by an unforgiving spirit. This anger is what the Pharisees felt toward Jesus. You know about these Pharisees that built their own religious system by taking God's law and then attaching hundreds of their own rules and regulations to it. And these additions made it impossible for the people to keep the original law of God. So Jesus comes on the scene, and the truth that he taught began to tear down the Pharisee system, and they got angry at him. It says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were very angry and discussed with each other what they could do to Jesus. The Pharisees wanted revenge. They wanted to get even. And we know the story. They eventually got what they wanted when Jesus was crucified. Rage, wrath, resentment. Resentment is another type of anger that's used to describe anger that stems from some grievance. It's an anger that is usually suppressed over a long period of time. Resentment anger doesn't blow up like rage anger. Resentment anger, it clams up. Resentment anger has a way of producing self-pity that eventually turns to bitterness in our hearts. Resentment anger was what the older son felt toward his prodigal brother and his father. I know you remember the story about that. The older son thought he had been the good son, the faithful son, the dependable son. And in his mind, his younger brother was the unfaithful, vagabond, wayward son. And now the younger brother was back home. And their father was celebrating his return with a party in his honor. And the older son was overcome with a resentful anger. He resented his brother. He resented the celebration. And he resented his father for the way he welcomed the prodigal home. In telling the story of the prodigal son, Jesus said this about the older brother. The older brother, Jesus said, was so angry that he would not go into the house. So his father came out and what? Begged him to come in. From the whole context of the story, we never get any indication that the older brother sought to restore the broken relationship that he had with his younger brother or his father. Resentment anger damages and destroys relationships with other people. The last type of anger is indignation. Indignation is used to describe anger that rises up inside of us as a result of seeing someone or something being mistreated, taken advantage of, or abused. This is, in fact, healthy anger that's aimed at a problem and not necessarily a person. It's anger for the right reason and expressed in the right way. It's anger that is meant to be corrective and constructive. Indignation anger is the kind that Jesus displayed. When you read through the Gospels, they tell of Jesus becoming angry on occasion, but it was always the indignation type of anger. Jesus' anger was aimed at correcting a wrong practice or adjusting some unhealthy attitude. Mark chapter 3 reveals the kind of thing that triggered the indignation anger of Jesus. It tells of Jesus was angry with the Pharisees because, here again, the Pharisees, their attitude towards a man who needed to be healed, even though it was the Sabbath. These religious leaders, the Pharisees, believed that keeping their traditions was more important than easing the pain or meeting the needs of another human being on the day of worship. Jesus expressed his anger at that situation by correcting a spiritual and physical problem in the healing of the man's hand. Mark says he looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. That's the Pharisees. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand and it was restored. Speaking for myself right now, but I believe followers of Christ need to have more indignation, anger over the injustices and mistreatment of people in this world. When was the last time we had indignation, anger over the killing of 1.5 million pre-born children through abortion every year in America? When was the last time we had indignation, anger over the sexual exploitation of children throughout the world by sexual trafficking, human trafficking? When was the last time we had indignation, anger over the fact that thousands of people die each day because of the lack of clean drinking water? When was the last time we had indignation, anger over poverty that finds 80% of the world's population living on less than $10 a day? And if you do the math, that's less than $400 a year. 80% over 4 billion people. The body of Christ should have more indignation, anger about these and other things that I believe literally break God's heart. Someone has said this: the person who can't feel anger at evil is a person who lacks enthusiasm for good. Indignation anger is the only type of anger that Scripture condones, encourages, and allows. Any anger monster that tries to fill us with rage or wrath or resentment must be immediately challenged, for this is destructive anger, and it's all around us. But anger that comes as a result of righteous indignation must be cultivated, because this is constructive anger that God doesn't condemn, but he applauds. Now, people handle anger in one of three ways. They either repress it, suppress it, or express it. We're told repression is a form of denial. If I deny then I'm angry. And I repress the emotion, then I won't have to deal with it. You see, I think if I just ignore it, the anger will go away. Well, I don't know how well you're doing with that. Anger isn't an emotion that can be dealt with by simply trying to forget it or deny it. If that anger energy inside of you isn't brought out in the open and taken care of in a safe way, it will be directed through other channels. And usually that anger gets directed through our physical body, with the effects of repressed anger with things such as high blood pressure, ulcers, heart problems, and on and on. So not only do we repress anger, secondly, we suppress anger. We don't deny we're angry. We don't deny it. But for one reason or other, we choose to suppress and stifle expressing the anger and simply hold on inside of us. By doing this, we think we're neutralizing our feelings of anger. But in reality, all we're doing is letting it simmer on the back burner of our mind somewhere. It's there, just percolating away. And eventually that anger must be released from our emotional system, or it will build until it blows like a volcano. I was going to say pressure cooker, but nobody in here probably is old enough to know what a pressure cooker is. Maybe you're not old enough to know what a volcano is. I don't know. Suppressed anger is usually released on an unsuspecting person who probably is a member of what? Our family. Here's an illustration of how that may work. An employer calls a worker into his office and confronts him over some work-related problem. The employee feels the employer is wrong, and the employee has anger rising up in him. But since he's afraid of losing his job, pretty smart employee, right? He suppresses his anger. He stuffs it down inside of himself until he goes home. His lovely wife, who's unaware of what has happened at work, greets him with a smile and some kind words. But the husband is still angry, and he only snarls at her and demands dinner. The wife now has two options open to her. She can snarl back, or she can suppress it and stuff it down. She chooses, in this instance, to stuff it until her teenage son comes home from basketball practice, and mom unloads her stuffed anger on him by finding something to yell about. How many know that have a teenage son? You can always find something to yell about, right? The teenage son, in turn, stuffs it, until later when he unloads on his younger brother, who unloads on his little sister, who unloads on her doll she's playing with by ripping off its head in anger. This little scenario may have hit too close to home for some of you. You could write your own, I'm sure. Today, I hope we learned that repressing and suppressing anger are not the best way to deal with this monster. Instead of repression and suppression, when anger is expressed, we must be careful that it's done in the right way. That means it's under control, and it's constructive, and it's never destructive. The professors here at Monster University who study it say when we get angry, our thinking process usually gets short-circuited. Don't I know that's true? They tell us we get reactionary impulses running through our brains, and we're not likely to think things through in a rational way when we're angry. This is why most people don't do a very good job of expressing their anger. Proverbs says this, an angry person causes what? Trouble. A person with a quick temper, what? Sins a lot. I want us to turn our attention now to a plan of action. Because if we left right now, it would be pretty depressing. But there is a plan of action for the monster of anger in our lives. And for those of you who are still in denial, you can give these steps to someone you know who's battling anger. Number one, we should own it and don't deny it. When anger comes, you need to own it and don't deny it. Why would I include this as number one? Because there are a lot of Christians who say something like this, I don't get angry anymore because Christians don't get angry. You know what they call Christians who don't get angry? It's not a liar. No, they probably could use that too. They're called dead Christians. Everybody, Christian and non-Christian, gets angry at some time or another. So just own it and don't deny it. The second step after you own it and don't deny it is to delay your response by controlling your spirit. Remember our verse in James where it says, be slow to anger? That wouldn't be there if we couldn't be slow to anger. You and I can delay our response by controlling our spirit. The Bible says we are responsible to be slow to anger. And with God's help, we can control our spirit. You know, some of you come here on Sunday morning and your spirit, that the real you inside, is ministered to. You're blessed by God through the music of our wonderful band, the teaching of the pastors, and the fellowship of the saints before and after the service. And then after the service, after you've left, you get out on Seminary Road and all of a sudden you lose it. Or you get to a local restaurant and you lose it because you can't control your own spirit. And the monster of anger wants you to just let your anger fly anywhere, anytime, anyplace, and never try to control your own spirit. The humorist Will Rogers said this, people who fly into a rage seldom make a good landing. A lot of truth in those words. God says we're to delay our response to those anger-producing situations and circumstances by controlling our spirit. Own it. Don't deny it. Control your spirit. And number three, define why you're angry. Define why you're angry. A lot of times we don't define why we're angry, and we make everybody else out to be the bad guys. And we haven't really processed why we're angry, so we blame other people. We're angry. We admit it. But we haven't defined why we're angry. Is it really that poor service at the restaurant? Is it really that driver weaving in and out of traffic? Is it really the hatchback on your SUV that won't stay open? define why you're angry. Because when you realize why you're angry, it gives you a better perspective on how to tame this monster. Three. The fourth one, some of you are going to check out on this fourth step. You're going to tell yourself something like this: I could handle it up until this step, but now I'm out of here mentally because I can't do this one. The fourth step is to forgive as God has forgiven you. I want to remind you, this isn't something that I just thought up to throw in here to give us 4 points. This is straight from God's textbook at Monster U. Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will what? Forgive you. I don't know about you, but that's not a bad deal. If we forgive those people who've made us angry and have done bad things to us and sinned against us, then we get a reward of being forgiven for all the bad things that we've done and all the sins that we've committed. Good deal, right? But the next verse goes along with this one. Jesus goes on and says, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's a lot of those ouch verses in the Bible, aren't there? That's one of them. Ouch. Lord, all over my toes. If we don't forgive those who've made us angry, the ones who've sinned against us, we're not going to receive God's forgiveness. Friends, it's a spiritual law. Don't blame me. If you want to receive God's forgiveness, you've got to forgive others. I've got to forgive others. In our class today, we've looked at 4 types of anger. They are rage, wrath, resentment, and indignation. In this last verse of the class, before the bell rings, you should know that James here doesn't have in mind indignation, anger, but rage, wrath, and resentment. This is what James says. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. God does have a righteous purpose, for each of our lives. And I believe one piece of that is to live in such a way where we're gaining control and taming the monster of anger, and it no longer controls us. God wants us to live in a way where we're no longer afraid of anger and our response to it. He wants us to live like His Son, Jesus Christ, and choose to do what is right, regardless of what our feelings and our emotions urge us to do, and regardless of what other people try and push us to do. The issue of anger will never be easier to address than right now. No matter how hard that may seem to us, anger in our lives will only get more difficult to deal with if we don't make a decision today to deal with it now. There's a good reason for this. I want to give you this little analogy that may make it clear, more clear. Anger is like food leftovers on dirty dishes. If you don't deal with them right away, if you deal with them, right away, they're soft and they're easy to remove. You just rinse the plate, food stuff goes down into the garbage disposal, you put it in the dishwasher. But if you wait, and we've all done it, it turns hard. So you may have to scrape, put out some extra effort because the leftovers are stuck tightly on the plate. Maybe that's why they call unresolved anger hard feelings. You see, anger turns hard very quickly. And that gives the devil an opportunity to sabotage a marriage, a friendship, a church. There are people everywhere who didn't clean up their anger when it first appeared, when it was small and relatively soft. And the devil got his foot in the door of their life. And now it's led to a terrible outcome for them and others. So remember the dirty dish. There's nothing to gain in waiting to resolve the problem of anger. Because the longer you wait, the harder it gets. So may the Lord help you and me learn to tame this monster of anger starting today. Let's own our anger. Don't deny it. Let's ask God to help us control our spirit. Let's define why we're angry in the first place. And then let's learn to forgive others. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you today that you have a plan for our lives, a righteous purpose for each of us. And Lord, anger of the wrath and the rage and resentment variety should not be a part of our life. It is not a good witness. It is not a good testimony to our families, our friends, our co-workers. Lord, I believe we need more indignation, anger in our lives over the suffering and mistreatment of so many people. And we would ask that you would do that through us. Help us to rise up and come against those things that are evil in the world. But Lord, I pray for those who may be struggling with anger this very moment, that they'll not wait, that today they will begin the process. They will take hold of these steps and they will ask you to come alongside and help them tame the monster of anger in their lives. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you in spite of our anger. It's not the unforgivable sin. You want to work with us, shape us, and make us be more like your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. After the band plays this song, there'll be some of us standing in front of the steps. If you want to come forward for prayer, it could be for an anger issue. May not be. Could be healing. Could be of finances. Whatever it might be, I'd encourage you to step out, come forward, and pray with us. Amen.